Hey you, do you want to become healthy? Well, who doesn't want to? But the important question is, how? If you feel the same way, then I got you covered. I am bringing some of the most awesome health and nutrition experts on the podcast, and they are going to share each and everything about physical and mental wellness. So, are you ready to learn with me and become a better version of yourself? Then make sure to follow this podcast because I don't want you to miss out any episodes. Thank you for being a part of this community. I'm glad you are listening.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast on personality development. This is your host Aditya Mehta. Today, in this episode, we have a very special guest. She is a clinical psychologist, a trauma and personality expert. She is Stephanie Karenia. First of all, Stephanie, thank you so much for taking out time and being a part of this show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aditya. And I'm very happy that you invited me and to be on your show. I love talking about personality and trauma, so I'm excited about today.
Wow. So, Stephanie, I have a lot to ask, but first, I would like you to give your detailed introduction about what you do, from how many years you are doing, and everything about that.
Yeah. So, I'm a clinical psychologist, and I have been working now for 13 years, mostly with personality and trauma, as well as with addiction. So I'm very passionate about what I do and communicating psychology to people to bring it to them in understandable language so they can understand themselves, because I believe when we understand ourselves, we can, self-understanding leads to self-compassion, leads to self-love. And in June, I started my Instagram account to be able to share this information more on a wider scale, because I wanted to help more people than just 12 or how many people it is per year that I'm helping. And often I hear they say this information or this treatment or has changed my life, or the way you have explained things have never been explained to me before this way. And I thought the psychoeducational aspect, perhaps I can do that more on a broader scale so more people can profit. And so far that has gone really, really well on Instagram, for instance. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm also now on your show, so on your podcast, so I'm happy for that too.
Thank you so much for the detailed introduction, and thank you so much for those kind words towards my podcast, so thank you for that. So you mentioned addiction in your introduction, so the very first question I would like to start with is that, you know, there are like many people who are addicted to stuffs which they know that they are harmful to their bodies, but it's somehow they are addicted to it, and they just make themselves sure that if they are not going to do that, their work is not going to be good, you know, something they don't feel right in a perfect way. So what should be their first approach to getting rid of that harmful addiction?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? Why would you have this addictive behavior when you know it is destructive, right?
Right.
While it causes problems, right? Yes. So why would you keep on doing that? And there's a lot of stigma on why people on people with an addiction. So I think it's important to realize that what we don't see is, we see perfectly healthy people from the outside, right? Because we can only see the physical condition of someone. So, right. But we cannot see the mental condition, the psychological condition. We cannot see the emotional condition from someone inside. We cannot see the complex trauma inside someone has. That's all invisible. Right. And that is very unfortunate, because a lot of the clients that I had have underneath complex trauma. And complex trauma, what is that? That is that you are in a chronic state of also hyperarousal. So your nervous system is not very happy, but it also means that you are feeling ashamed of yourself. You're carrying this shame. You feel low self-worth. You struggle with trusting people. And one of the worst problems is that you will struggle to connect to other people on an emotional level. So just like we need oxygen and food and safety, psychologically, we need connection to be able to feel that we belong, that we feel connection is that we feel unconditionally accepted by other people. These are things, basic things we all need to have to survive without suffering. But with complex trauma, we will, because of the things that happen in childhood, which can also be hidden trauma, we will struggle to connect on a deeper level with people. So we will feel not unconditionally accepted. We will be walking with shame. We will not be trusting other people. So life becomes sort of a war zone, with the difference that there's not actual war. So it's all invisible, but that's how it feels. And so we won't see that with those people, but that's inside how they are going through life. And you can imagine that is exhausting. That is like exhausting. And any kind of relief can be helpful, right? If we would be in such pain. I think that is the way you should view it. And I think it's so, for instance, if you would break a leg or something, at least it is visible. People won't expect from you to be walking or running when you have a broken leg, because it's visible. You yourself won't be hard on yourself because you know you have a broken leg, right?
Right.
But if you don't, that's not visible and you cannot walk, you will be angry with yourself. You will be disappointed. So it becomes worse. I think that's very important to understand, and that's why also there's a lot of education on Gabor Mate, for instance, does great work on highlighting this trauma underneath a lot of addicts, to be able to have more compassion. Of course, we also need to set boundaries, so that's important. But to answer your question is, if you're an addict, how can you help yourself, right?
Right.
So I think it's really important to understand, to try to understand and to go deeper to what you're feeling. Do you feel connected? Do you feel, and can you experience unconditional acceptance? Are you extremely self-critical? Is your inner critic all the time, 24/7 on you? Are you walking with shame, being ashamed of yourself? All these things are very important to realize, because if you're carrying this, it is very hard to live. Not saying that is an excuse to use, because you should need to get help, but so then it's a two steps, basically, because we can not only heal our complex trauma, we also need to heal the addiction. Because addiction starts like this. You struggle for whatever reason, or you want to be extra happy, or whatever the reason is that you start using. But if you do that, and everyone does that every now and again, perhaps people drink a glass of wine just to unwind. The difference is with an addict, it becomes a habit, and it becomes the only way they can unwind. And then it turns into an addiction. Right. So it's important to treat both aspects. When you're already addicted, you need to focus also on specifically the addiction itself. And I would definitely recommend to also focus on the underlying aspects. And often in addiction clinics and rehabs, you see that they do an amazing job on the addiction part. But not everyone is very skilled in addressing the complex trauma, the inner critic, to develop unconditional acceptance, basically.
Wow.
Sorry, that's a long answer.
That's really no. Actually, it needs to be more detailed, and you gave a perfect examples, and I think it was a great answer. Because these things has to be detailed, and it needs to be explained in much more depth. So it's fine if you are giving long answers. It's really appreciating. So my next question to you is, as you mentioned that the complex trauma is basically due to the shame which you are carrying on yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, these kind of stuffs comes when you suffer a failure. That failure can be anything. It can relate to your career, it can relate to your relationship, it can relate to anything in this world. Now, and because of failure, normally we face depression and we face, deep things like complex trauma. When a person is facing a failure, what should be the first step which he or she should be doing so that it doesn't directly affect his or her mental state?
Okay, so first of all, it's important to clarify something. When I was describing the shame that people are carrying, for instance, addicts or people with complex trauma, I'm referring to the shame they are carrying because as a child, their emotional needs weren't met, weren't attended to. And then automatically, a default mode is that the child will blame themselves, itself. And that's okay. When shame develops. They don't even necessarily have to be shamed as a child by the parents, like, you're being difficult, or you're being hysterical, or that doesn't even necessarily need to happen. They don't even need to have to be bullied as a child to develop shame. That happens automatically when you don't get the attention you need, your parents are self-involved or are not nice to you. Immediately the child will tell itself, you're worthless, you're this, you're that. That is a defense mechanism. So the shame that these people are carrying has nothing to do with that they did anything to be shameful for. Now, now we're in adulthood, and now you're asking me what happens when you experience failure and that feeling of that disappointment that happens. Right?
Then
this is very interesting. So people who don't carry shame, who have a good self-worth, who feel unconditional acceptance towards themselves, so self-love basically, if they fail in something, they will see it as a challenge. They won't see it as a personal failure. They will see that their project or something failed. They see the project failed, not me. On the other hand, people who grew up feeling ashamed of themselves because their childhood needs weren't met, when they experience exactly the same failure of a specific project, for instance, they're working on, they will tell themselves, I'm worthless, not the project.
Yes, definitely, definitely. It does make sense. But, I have seen many of the people around over here, I feel that, they actually, then there is a course over here which has a name. I cannot say that name, but it takes many attempts to clear it. Okay, some might be cleared in one attempt, some might take three, some might take five, and many more. Now, when that particular person is still not clearing that, they actually move into depression, okay? And that is one of the biggest failure which they feel in their life. What would you suggest to them how they can overcome that feeling of depression, of being a failure, how they can overcome that?
Okay, great question. So, and this is what happens in a lot of, a lot of countries or cultures and situations in which you don't pass the exam. Also, I'm from Greece, and it's hard to get in the university there as well. I think it's important to understand that the difference between the people who will get into and who don't pass the exam, and people who pass the difference between people who don't pass the exam and get into a depression, and people who don't pass the exam after a couple of times and So don't get into a depression and get into a depression. The difference is that the people who get into a depression identify with being a failure. They feel that they as a person are a failure.
Right.
And that society, and then a feeling of unworthiness will be triggered. You know, the shame will be triggered.
Right.
And that is the suffering. And a criterion of depression is worthlessness, feeling worthlessness. Especially when someone becomes very suicidal, then feeling worthless is one big aspect of it. So right. Other people who have done the exams but didn't pass all the times and don't get into a depression usually are the ones that don't feel shame as a child, don't feel worthless, so they won't identify with these results. So not passing these exams over and over again, they will be disappointed. Of course, they will have to adjust their future perspective, right? What am I going to do now?
Right.
But they won't feel that they as a person are worthless. And that's the difference. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%. So basically what you are telling is they shouldn't feel themselves as worthless. They should just feel that they are not able to clear out this exam, but there are many other aspects for the future which they can pursue towards, and that they are not worthless.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And the reason, and so the people without the shame are able to do to make that switch very naturally,
right.
Very fluidly, and perhaps they will be able to say, oh wow, actually I'm happy that I didn't pass, because now I realize I always wanted to become that, and I got in there and I'm happy there. So they will be able, you will see, they will be able to make that switch very much more easily. And the other
Great.
Will get stuck. Will get stuck in the I didn't pass, I'm worthless, etc. And that has to do with them already feeling worthless from child on because of the emotional abandonment that they had. So what is important is for them to realize this, that the problem is that they are stuck. And that is their core belief, which is not correct. And that it is important to get out of that being stuck so they can move fluidly again and go with their flow, their natural flow. I have to say, for instance, I started off studying law and I didn't pass the exams. And I'm very happy now that I didn't, because I ended up doing psychology. And this is because I was unhappy with law. So perhaps I sabotaged it myself. I don't know.
So, right.
And now I'm doing what I absolutely love. So this is evidence that failing exams is not the end of the world. Perhaps it's also a different direction in your life that you can go to. But you need to be able to get unstuck. That's it.
Wow, that's amazing. And even I'm glad that you didn't pass law, otherwise you wouldn't have been on this podcast, right?
Absolutely, yes.
That's pretty amazing. Okay, now talking about depression, many people wouldn't even realize that they are into the depression. What do you think that can be the signs of depression in a particular human being?
So signs of a depression, so my expertise, by the way, is trauma and personality, but generally depression is that you feel over mostly sad, as not sad, but not that you're unable to feel, basically. So a lot of people think that with depression, you feel sad. Feeling sad can be a good feeling, can be even a relief. The problem with depression is that you don't really feel. And so you're in a dysphoric state, basically, mostly of the day, and that for at least 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, feel free to look up the criteria on the internet. But how come you're asking about depression?
Sure, definitely. That's pretty nice answer. So yeah, you mentioned about trauma as well. So, you know, about trauma, I had this conversation related to trauma few months back, and she had been into a great amount of trauma. Like, she was sexually abused in her childhood, and this kind of trauma is really having a bad effect when they are grown-ups. Now, I'm definitely sure there are many grown-ups who might have faced a lot of trauma in their childhood or in their formative years, and now if anything goes wrong in their life, the whole trauma pictures come in front of their face. How can a person start to overcome that trauma? Like, every time something bad happens, how can a person not go back towards the origin, but just try to accept what has been happening is just because of the current situation and not because of the past things which has happened?
Yeah, and I'm wondering, why would that person want that? Because if that happened, why would you want to just separate, deal with this, what's happening right now, and separate it from the trauma as a child? I'm wondering, why would you want to do that? Because this is a sign when something new happens, a new circumstance, a new event, and it opens up the previous trauma. That can be a sign that the previous trauma hasn't been healed properly. So I would say, go heal that. Go heal the wound that is still open and that gets so easily activated again and again with new events, right?
Right. Okay. So if let's say if a person wants to heal it, okay, I mean, how they can do that? What would be the first approach for a human being to start healing that trauma? And as you are a trauma expert, I feel at least you could give the first step. And obviously, I have seen on your Instagram page as well that you do take healing lessons as well. Like, you have a class which makes people heal emotionally, and those who have trauma. So what would you like to say about that as well?
Yeah, so I have on my Instagram account, I have in my bio and on my website, I have a free inner healing course, and that you can go through the steps of what it takes to heal. I want to highlight that is a guide to actually, if you actually have trauma with also flashbacks, etc., and in general, also complex trauma, if you really want to heal that, you need to also have an attachment, a safe attachment. You need a therapist. So you can always do the inner healing course and go through the steps and identify a couple of things. But in this situation, what you're describing, and if it's apparently such a wound and it comes up, you might need to go to a therapist. And what happens in therapy specifically, what happens is that this wound, this trauma with, for instance, post-traumatic stress disorder that opens up and you have this perhaps flashbacks, what happens is that those were moments perhaps in childhood or another moment in your life when the traumatic event occurred. But trauma is not the traumatic event. Trauma is the way the traumatic event has been wired in your brain now, has been imprinted in your brain, the way you have perceived it.
Right.
So in therapy, what I do with my clients is we go to those moments, those visual moments of what happened, and we try to identify which association they have. Often the association they have with it is I'm powerless in that situation, or I'm guilty. Or so these beliefs that are stored with that situation are the trauma. It's not the trauma itself. So in trauma, we're working through to transform these beliefs. I wasn't bad. I wasn't guilty. I'm safe now. When they look at the and so suddenly they feel safe again. They feel in control again. And then when new things happen, they won't feel overwhelmed anymore. They won't feel powerless anymore. So that's basically what happens. And that's why with these specific traumas, when there's so much emotion involved, you might need a therapist to help you guide you through that.
Wow, that's a really nice answer. Thank you so much for all the answers you have given. We are almost at the end of this episode, and I always ask this last question to each and every guest who comes on this show. So this question obviously has to be asked to you as well. This is your 2 minutes of selfish moment, you can say. You can talk about anything you want. If people wants to get connect with you, if people wants the way with you, if people wants to talk to you, how they can reach out to you. So you have a complete 2 minutes. You can say about anything you want.
Okay, thank you. That's very nice that I can have my selfish moment. Let me see what I would like to say to you. What my passion is that you become self-confident, self-empowered, and we can do that by identifying our core beliefs and how that has developed as a child. So you won't second guess yourself anymore. When you were told as a child, you're difficult, you're too sensitive, you're this, you're that. That's often your parents' emotional immaturity, and that's not you. It's important to get that straight. I'm posting a lot on that at the moment, also on my Instagram account. I also started a TikTok account, so I'm also there. I'm starting a YouTube account. Follow me on Instagram, I would say, if you would like to hear more about my work and empower yourself. Yes, that's about it. And my website, by the
way, Instagram,
you can find me on Psychologist Stephanie, as well as YouTube and TikTok, and my website as well, psychologiststephanie.com. And now I'm doing a self-empowerment course that you can apply to, a free introduction. So that's where you can find me.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. So I know, listeners, that's a lot to catch. So what I'll be doing is, I'll be mentioning her links in the description, and you guys can definitely give her a follow on Instagram. Those people who are Indian listeners, obviously they cannot follow her TikTok account because TikTok is banned in India. So that's one thing. Yes. So all the people who wants to get connected with her, I'll provide the Instagram link as well as her website link. You guys can definitely go over there and get in touch with her. Give her an Instagram follow. I am definitely sure it's worth it, and you are not going to regret it at all. So that's it. With that being said, we have to sign off from this episode. So this is Aditya Mehta along with Stephanie, signing off from this episode. Till then, peace out.